Awesome. Well, good morning, everybody. So glad you guys are with us. My name's Clayton. If you're a guest with us, I'm the lead pastor here at Central. I'm glad you guys are here with us. Our church family, Central, thank you for being here in the middle of summer. And we are in the middle of a series called Postcards from God, looking at the smallest books of the Bible. But let me just say this. This is going to be the longest sermon. Just kidding. That's not going to be a long sermon. y'all think these short books are going to be short, but they're not. There's great messages. There's lots of information in the middle of this. And if you haven't been with us, that's what we've been going through. We looked at Obadiah a couple of weeks ago. We looked at 2 John. Well, today we're going to jump in and look at the book of 3 John. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. It's at the end of the Bible, right there. It's a small little short book that we're going to look at today. And I was thinking about, what are the shortest messages that people give to other people? I think in our culture, there is one thing that is probably one of the shortest messages that people like to share, and it is their license plate. Anybody have one of those custom license plates? Anybody? You know, like, yeah, some of you guys have those. Well, in Oklahoma, they're all over the place. And I like to look at those sometimes. Sometimes they make me laugh. Sometimes they make me cringe. Well, today, I want to do that to you as well. So I'm going to show you a couple of license plates that we have found in the state of Oklahoma. Here's a classic one, the OS who, you know, like the OU fans doing that. It's a pretty classic one. But this is one that might be a little bit too close to home for some people. Have to poo. I don't know. Maybe if you're a speeder, maybe you get that. Maybe you get out of some tickets. That's terrible. That's a terrible one. What about this one? Don't tow. Okay. That's a good one. Some good advice. You might do that if you like to just park downtown without paying for it. How about this? Buy 401k. If you got a really nice, expensive car, you could have that one. Just tell everybody, hey, I just blew it all on this midlife crisis. Or this is a good one, stolen. That's a good one. I like that. But my favorite, guys, is this one. I don't know if anybody's got the same vibe as I do, but this is my favorite one. Bacon. I love that. That's a good message, right? That you could tell other people. This is the shortest way to send a message to someone. Well, this is what 3 John is going to do for us today. Did you know that 3 John is the shortest book by word count in the New Testament? It's a small little tiny letter, but it exposes a major conflict that is going on in this church, and specifically between two different people, two different guys we're going to look at today. One of them is opened up his life to serve other people, and the other one has used his position to control people. One of them wants Jesus to be known, and this other guy wants to be known. He wants to be the man. And so this morning, here's what I want to ask all of us to do today, is that we would look inward and we would look at this text today and ask ourselves this question: which man looks most like me? Which guy in this story seems to be who I am? And today we're going to look at these two guys, and I just want to right off the bat tell you about this first guy. This first guy, his name is Gaius, and I'm going to introduce you to Gaius here in just a second. Now, Gaius, the best way to describe him is when Jesus has first place in your life. This is who Gaius is, and John writes this letter to this man. And so let's look at the first couple of verses. Here's what it says. It says, to the elder, so it's John, he says, to my dear friend Gaius, so he's our character for today, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you are prospering in every way and are in good health, just as your whole life is going well. Now that seems like just kind of a basic, nice greeting, but what's going on is John is actually saying, hey, Gaius, I pray that your physical health is tracking the same way that your spiritual health is tracking. Now, what if we prayed that prayer for you today? Where we prayed and we asked God, I pray that their physical health would be in line, it would match up with their spiritual health. What would happen to your body? I mean, would you be in peak condition? Would you be able to do some backflips off the stage here? Or would we have to go find one of the defibrillators off of the wall for you? Would we be calling an ambulance to come and pick you up if your physical health matched up with your spiritual health? And yet, Gaius, he's got a great spiritual health going on. His spiritual gut is healthy. And the question is, why is it? Was he just like that, or was he doing some things that helped him to be spiritually healthy? Well, let's look at what it says in the next couple of verses. John says, "For I was very glad when fellow believers came to me and testified to your fidelity to the truth and how you are walking in truth." And so here's the message for today, that Gaius, he is walking in truth. We've been talking about that the last couple of weeks, about this idea of not just knowing truth, but walking in it. He says, "I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children, that they're walking in this kind of truth." Now see, Gaius, he didn't just know the truth, he was actually walking in it. And the Bible talks about this a lot in Colossians 2:6. It says, "Just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord," let me translate that, if you're a believer in Jesus, if you have faith in Christ, you call yourself a Christian, continue to walk in him. That is the Christian life. Not just believing, but living every single day with Jesus. And what happens is when you're walking with him, you get to know him. You become to be like him. You're influenced by him. His voice shapes your thinking. His character shapes the conduct of your life and how you treat other people. His mission to go and share the good news with everyone, it changes your priorities. And when you walk with Jesus every single day, you begin to be like him. And this is what Gaius was doing. He was walking with Christ. And here's what it says in the next verse, in verse 5. John goes on and says, "Dear friend, you are acting faithfully in whatever you do for the brothers and sisters, especially when they are strangers." Okay, so now we got strangers in the mix in how Gaius was treating other people. And what Gaius was known for was faithfully supporting Christians whom he didn't know, people that weren't right next to him. And he realized that proximity is not what bound him with other believers. It was that they had the same things that they shared. They shared the same Savior. They shared the same gospel. They shared the same mission. It didn't mean they had to be right next to each other. And the reality is that as a church, and I would say if you're a believer in this room, for you personally as a family, we are all bound together with people that we may not know because of who Jesus is. Great example of that would be what's been happening in the last couple weeks here at our church. We've been on the mission field all over the place. We serve with Project Hope. A lot of people are involved in Project Hope here at our church. We want to help orphans all over the world, and so a lot of us are a part of that. We a couple weeks ago, we had a group come back from Toronto. They were up there sharing the gospel and helping out a church plant up in Canada. We have a team right now that's in Italy. That'd be a great mission trip, you know what I'm talking about? Man, I didn't get invited to that one, but I hope they're watching right now. But they're also helping out a church plant in Italy. And we just had a team get back from the Philippines. And in fact, Mindy over here, Mindy Russell is our kids minister, and she just came back and she's like, "Clayton, I want to tell you a story about what happened to me when I was over in the Philippines." And so she sat down and told me the story that when she was over there, she met this lady named Esther. And Esther was not from the Philippines. Esther is from South Korea. And several decades before today, her family was approached by Christian missionaries from the United States. They share the gospel with her family. Her family gets saved. And then you fast forward a couple decades, and now she and her husband are actually on the mission field in the Philippines. They're international missionaries from South Korea. And so Mindy is sitting down with her and talking with her. And look, they don't know each other. They don't share the same heart language. Their cultures are completely different. And yet Esther was so kind to Mindy that she reached over and gave Mindy this. This is just a pineapple pastry, okay? This little pineapple cake. And I don't even know that it's that because it's all written in Korean. But Mindy told me it is. And so Mindy brought this home and she wanted me to bring up on stage and share this with you guys because, you know, they had that conversation and then Esther got up and she went back to her room at the hotel they were staying at and she died that night. She just died. Craziest thing. Mindy woke up the next day and found out about it. And so she reached over and grabbed this and she's like, I don't know what to do with this. Like I can't force myself to eat this. Yeah, I can't. I don't know what. I'm just kind of hanging on to this because that's hospitality, right? That's such a great example of Esther, who didn't know these American missionaries coming over to the Philippines, and yet because they were connected with the gospel, because they were connected with the same Savior, Jesus Christ, she reached out to Mindy in just a profound way. And that's how we should be. We should be partnering with people who share the same message that we do. But also, this scripture, this is what Gaius was doing. But this scripture, this passage tells us actually how we should actually partner. It goes on in verse 6 and says that they have testified. So John is getting this message about Gaius. He's saying, look, they have testified to your love before the church. And you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. So this right here, I love this phrase because this is saying that we should be helping fellow believers in Christ more than just giving them a hand. It's saying that we should be supporting people in a manner worthy of God. So what does that look like? Well, it's beyond helping to the point where it's shouting what God is worth to you and how we treat them. Saying, look, God is, he's worthy of my time, he's worthy of my effort, he's worthy of my best, he's worthy of my resources. And so those are things that we should be thinking about when it comes to partnering with people, whether that's a church partnering with someone else, or whether that's you in your own life partnering with other believers for the name of Christ. So we should be doing that, but also the question is, well, who should we be actually partnering with? Well, this next passage describes it. Verses 7 and 8 says, since they set out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from pagans, therefore we ought to support such people so that we can be co-workers. Co-workers with whom? Co-workers with those who have set out for the sake of the name. I love that. What name are they talking about? They're talking about the name of Jesus. And so this right here is the test for us of a ministry partner. Who should we be partnering with? We should be partnering with people who've set out for the sake of the name. Another way to say this is, are they making much of the name of Jesus, or are they making much of their own name? Which one are they doing? Who are they? Here's the really cool thing about this. When we partner with those kind of people, our influence gets to expand. We get to make an impact that's way beyond our own horizon, what we can actually see. And so here's what I would like to do, just between like a pastor and a church this morning. I want to ask you to do something. If you call Central Home, I want to ask you to begin praying. If you have a prayer list and you daily pray for things, I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to pray for the partners of our church, the ones we currently have and the ones we don't have yet. More specifically, I want to ask you to begin praying about a church that I believe God is calling us to support. I don't know what that church is. I don't know if they're local. I don't know if they're on the other side of the world. But God has done some really cool things here. God has blessed us in some amazing ways. And like we've always said, this can't stay with us. We should be supporting and helping other believers who have set out for the sake of the name. So I want to ask you to begin praying for that. I mean, I don't have an agenda here. I just feel led by the Spirit, just asking you to do that. See what God has in store for us as a church. You know, Gaius, there's something really cool about him that could be seen by everybody, and it's that he was living in such a way and supporting other people that he didn't even know, and the reason was is because in his life, Jesus was first place. But there's always like a villain in the story. In a good story, there is. And in this story, there is a villain, a guy that's completely opposite. Let me introduce you to him. His name is Diotrephes. We're going to call him Dio for the rest of the time, okay? Just easier to say. But this guy, the way you could think about him is when self takes first place. Not when Jesus takes first place, but when self takes first place. You see, Dio loved to have first place in his life, and that explains everything about him. Look what it says and describes about him in verse 9. It says, I wrote something. John's saying, I wrote something to the church, but Dio, who loves to have first place among them, does not receive our authority. Now, here's what was going on with Dio. He had what I like to call Ricky Bobby syndrome. Anybody know what that is? If you're not first, you're last. Okay, yeah. All right, Talladega Nights, if you don't know what I'm talking about, watch it, okay? Ask the person next to you. Isn't that true? That's what he had. If he wasn't going to be first, no one was going to be first. He loved to be the most important person in the room. He loved to be in control. He loved to be number one. He had a Messiah complex. And the reason he did is because he took his eyes off of the real Messiah. He took his eyes off of Jesus himself. So what can we learn from this guy? We can learn that his attitude changed him. And this attitude made him unteachable. It messed him up. Look what happens in the next couple verses, or in this verse. It says that there was something that John had written. John had written something right here. I don't know if you caught this at the beginning. Now, studying this, it's like, well, what did he write? Well, it wasn't 1 John, because that's a different church. It wasn't 2 John. That was a different church. This is a separate church in southern Asia Minor, like modern-day Turkey. And he had written this to them. He'd written something to them. We don't know what it is, but it's lost to us. And the reason is because Dio received it and then tore it up. And he wouldn't let anybody else read it. He refused to accept what John was saying. He became unteachable. Can you believe that John would do something like that? Or sorry, that the Dio would do something like that? Can you believe that he wouldn't listen to John? I mean, think about this. John was a disciple, guys. He was with Jesus. He was at the tomb. He was the only disciple. You know how many disciples were at the cross? One. This guy. John was the only one there. Everybody else had fled in that moment. Man, if John walked into our church, like, no one's leaving the room. No one's getting coffee. No one's going to the bathroom. I'm taking my mic off, handing it to him. I'm going to sit back up there. There's one spot in the back row up there. I'm going to sit with those guys because I want to hear what he has to say. Every one of us will be on pins and needles if John showed up, but not for Dio. He wouldn't listen. And that teaches us a really important lesson for today, that one of the clearest signs that pride has crept into your life is that you can no longer be corrected. You're not teachable anymore. What happens is you stop asking, well, is that true about me? What can I learn from that? Instead, you say, who do you think you are? Who gave you the right to speak into my life? And we treat people like that because we are prideful people. And this is what was going on in Dio's life. Look what happens in the first part of verse 10. It says, this is why if I come, I will remind him of the works he is doing. He is slandering us with malicious words. And so Dio is tearing down John by talking trash about him. And when he couldn't control John, what he wanted to do is he wanted to attack John. And that's what pride does. Pride criticizes other people, doesn't it? It exaggerates other people's faults and minimizes your own. And pride loves to talk behind other people's backs. That's what pride does. And that's what Dio was doing. So John, I love this. John is about to step up and have a talk with the guy. Like, don't forget this. He says, I'm going to remind him. I will remind him. Like, that is the nicest way of saying, I'm about to come down hard on this guy, okay? Why is John going to do that? Because John was not a passive guy. You know what his nickname was? The Son of Thunder, right? Him and his brother, James, that Jesus gave him that name because of their hot attitude. Like, they were guys that, like, they were the first ones that wanted to fight every time, okay? So John, even though he's an old guy, he's like, man, when I show up, we're going to have a talk, okay? I love that about John because it was so important to him. Look at the next part of this verse. Verse 10 says this, and he's not satisfied with that. He not only refuses to welcome fellow believers, but even stops those who want to do so, and he expels them from the church. You see the progression here? It's crazy. Notice what's going on. He rejects John. He blocks ministry from happening. It even removes people from the fellowship if they resist his control. That wasn't Christ-like at all. It was controlling, right? And if we aren't careful, what happens is we will spend our lives trying to become great in our own eyes through controlling how other people see us. But look what Jesus says. Jesus has something completely different for us, guys. Look what he says in Mark chapter 10. Now, before I move here, he's talking to his disciples, okay? So he's talking directly to John, okay? Here's what he says in Mark chapter 10. Whoever wants to become great among you will be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you will be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, so Jesus himself did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, Jesus, he redefines what greatness is. Like the world says that, look, great people stand at the top in business and life and in academics and in culture online. Great people stand at the top. And Jesus says, no, great people serve at the bottom. The world says that we're supposed to use people to build up our own positions. And Jesus says, no, you need to use your position to build people up. The world says that you need to do everything you can to make sure that everyone knows your name and that you are famous. And Jesus says, no, you need to live in such a way that everyone knows my name, right? That's totally different. He flips everything on its head. You see, in the kingdom of God, there's a great lesson for us today. Look, greatness isn't measured by how many people serve you, but instead by how many people are better because you served them. That's what it means to walk with Christ. And Dio wasn't doing it. Now, here's the good news. Dio is dead, okay? He's done. But the bad news is his spirit is still alive in churches today. Every single one of us, we brought some things to church today. Hopefully you brought your Bible, okay? I bet every one of us brought our phone. If you missed your phone, you're turning around, right? Or there's lots of anxiety going on. What am I missing? Like, I need that my phone with me. So we brought those things. Hopefully you brought your kids. If you have kids, you need to check. But we bring things that are important to us. But I'll say this. Every single one of us has also brought pride with us into the church. So we need to talk about that. We need to talk about when pride comes to church. Look, at Central, we want to fight for the good things. We want to fight for our culture and our unity and all those things. So let me just say this as we kind of begin talking about this. That here at our church, only one star of the show has the right to be the star. And that's Jesus. In fact, Colossians chapter 1, my favorite passage of the Bible, says this about Jesus. When you bring pride to the church, and it's so easy when you're up on stage, I'm like, God, seriously, why am I preaching up here? I feel like I'm the worst person in the room, okay? Seriously, Jesus is the head of this church. He says this, he is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. I love that saying. Another way to say that here about our church is that, look, glory only goes up here, okay? Only goes to him. It's not spread out amongst ourselves. We don't give glory to ourselves. We give glory to him. And I just want to brag on our church a little bit. Like, I am so thankful to be here at Central. You guys are awesome. I mean, there have been some major changes over the last 6 years. Some of you guys are going, oh my goodness, I know, Clayton, it's been rough, right? There's been some major changes. There's been some difficult decisions. But in the middle of all that, I have watched you guys love the church over your priorities and preferences. I've seen you serve without needing or wanting or expecting recognition. I've seen you supporting decisions that were not always your first choice. But for the sake of the gospel going forth, you're like, you know what? Let's do this together. Let me say, that's worth celebrating. I mean, we take that for granted sometimes, but I'm going, man, praise God that we get to be a part of something like this here. And so we give all the glory to him for what he has done in us and through us. But let me say this, we still got work to do. In fact, Gaius was the same way. He still had work to do in his life. He wasn't perfect. Yeah, he hadn't arrived. He hadn't made it. In fact, what John is going to do in the next verse, in verse 11, he's going to give the only imperative in the entire letter, meaning the only instruction, the only command. Here's what he says. to Gaius. So dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, okay? Do not imitate, but instead imitate what is good. We are supposed to imitate what is good. The one who does good is of God, and the one who does evil has not seen God. So let me ask this, I'm going to call it a future-shaping question for you. And I'm going to say this to myself as well. Which life are you going to copy? Are you going to copy your two options? You have Gaius' life or Dio's. Gaius, he walked in truth. He opened up his hands. He supported the gospel going out. And he didn't want to take credit. And the reason is because Jesus was first place in his life. And yet Dio was the other way. He loved being first. He used people instead of serving people. And instead of building God's kingdom, he was trying to build his own kingdom. Now, let me say this. I'm not just talking about the church anymore. I'm talking about us personally, okay? It's so easy for us to carry pride everywhere we go. It's all about me. And if people get in the way, good luck. Let me ask this. Is Jesus number one in your life? You know, the easiest way to start that, if you say, you know what, I'm not sure if he is, the easiest way to start that is to give your life to him. If you want Jesus to be number one in your life, you got to give your life to him. Meaning, you got to trust in him for your own salvation instead of trusting in yourself. Believing that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins and rose from the grave. As the Bible says. The Bible says when you do that, when you repent of your sins and trust in him, you will be saved. And you're no longer trusting in yourself as if you can do anything to earn your salvation. Instead, you're trusting in Jesus. And what happens is Jesus becomes number one in your life. We all know that it's a daily walk, right? For believers in this room, the next question is does Jesus have first place every day? Does Jesus have first place in your heart? Like your attitude, what you're hoping for, the things you want to do in the future, the plan, the great plans you have for your own life, does Jesus have first place in that? Does Jesus have first place in how you treat other people? Let me say this. Does Jesus have first place in how you treat the people that are closest to you? Your spouse, your kids, your family. It's so easy to just be a jerk all the time, to be rude, to try to get your way, to try to manipulate them so you can get what you want. That's not having Jesus as first place in that situation. Does Jesus have first place in your finances? No one's talking about that, right? That's my money, right? Does Jesus have first place in your effort at work, at school? You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to work hard, so hard that it's almost like we're serving and working for God himself. Why? Because people get to see Jesus in us. Does Jesus have first place in that part of your life? Does Jesus have first place with your lips? The things that you say. Whether it's things you ought to not say or things you say about other people, we say things, we do things as if he doesn't know. Like he's not seeing that part of our lives. He sees all of it. He hears all of it. Does he have first place in that? Does he have first place with our ears? The things that we let influence in our lives. Does he have first place with our eyes? The things that we watch, the places that we go. Does he have first place in our lives? Let me get a little more practical. Does Jesus have first place every evening at home? The way you interact with your loved ones. How you spend that precious time. Is it just for you? Are you serving other people? Are you loving other people? Are you taking care of other people? Let me get a little personal for myself. Does Jesus have first place with my mornings? Anybody not a morning person? Okay. I'm trying. I wake up. It's harder and harder to wake up every year. I don't know. Like getting up I've been trying to read through my Bible again this year. And guys, I am in 2 Kings and it is brutal. I'm just telling you. Like, that's a tough one. I mean, reading about all these kings and what's going on, and man, they split up the kingdom, and so now you're trying to keep track of all everything. It's hard. Like, I feel like I need just this giant study helps to be able to go through it. I'm reading it. I sit on my couch and I'm reading through this, and I pray and I say, God, today's your day. Help me. I started off well. Let's have a good day. And guys, by midday, I feel like the worst person. Like, I am selfish. I am rude. I am narrow-minded. I'm stubborn. I'm unthoughtful, ungrateful. My family back here, they're like, oh yeah, yeah, that's the guy. Those that work with me, they're like, oh yeah. I mean, he gets up on stage and he yells a lot, but like, he's got issues. We all have issues, right? We all have that. We carry our pride everywhere we go. But here's the thing, I am so grateful that the God who deserves first place is also the God of second chances, right? Every single day, you have an opportunity, whether you mess up or not, you have another opportunity to make him number one in your life. So let me ask this. What has struck a nerve with you today? Given lots of different examples of different parts of our lives. Where is Jesus not number one? You claim he's number one, but what part of your life is he not number one? And if there's a part, some of you guys are like, it's every part. if there's a part of your life that needs to change, I want to call you to make that change this week. God has you here for a reason. It's not just to drink some coffee and just listen to some great music. God is speaking to us today and saying, what are you going to do about this truth? Are you number one in your life, or am I number one? You see, Gaius, it wasn't about him. It was about Jesus. And it showed in his life. That was his reputation. And God was given glory through his life. And other people's lives were changed. And look, if you want that to be said about you, Dio's got to die, right? Your pride has to die. What area of your life does your pride need to be killed so that Jesus can be number one? Pray that God speaks to you right now and calls you to change. Let's pray. God, thank you for speaking to us today through your word. I pray, God, for anyone who's never put their faith and trust in you, never made you number one in their life by giving their life to you. I pray that today they may repent of their sins and trust in a holy God who came to this earth, who is Savior and Lord, Jesus the Messiah, who died on the cross to pay for their sins and rose from the grave, who says, you don't have to do anything but believe in me and turn to me, and I'll do all the work. I pray they would lay down their pride right now and they would trust in you through prayer, an honest prayer of repentance and asking you to be the Lord of their life. And I pray for us as believers who try to walk with you every day, we know that every single day we've got to lay down our pride. It ruins everything. We see that in Dio's life. We don't want to be like him. It's not a good example for our family, our kids, or people we interact with at work and at school. God, we want to be different. We want to be changed. I believe every single one of us in this room would rather be like Gaius. We'd rather choose to be like him. We'd rather copy our lives after him. But that's hard. It's hard to support other people when we don't get any recognition. It's hard to give sacrificially in all different areas when we don't feel like there might be an immediate return. It's so easy to be just for ourselves, that we are number one in our lives. And I pray against that. I pray right now that we would lay that down, lay pride down. I pray, Lord, that in our areas of our lives that you've been speaking to us about this morning. Maybe it's family relationships. Maybe it's the things that we're letting into our lives. I pray, God, that Jesus will be number one in that space. And if he's not, convict us. Holy Spirit, speak to every single person in this room. Call us to repentance. Call us to change. Call us to commitment this week to take steps with you, to walk with you, so that you are number one in that area. Help us to change, God. It's for your glory we pray all this. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I invite you to stand. Y'all stand with me for just a second. We're going to have a chance to respond. Look, if you've never put your trust in Jesus and made him number one in your life, I don't invite you to come down underneath these crosses right here. We'll have people there who would love to pray with you so you can trust in Jesus and be saved. For all of us in this room, call ourselves believers. Look, we know every single day we've got to walk with him. What needs to change in your life this week? Where in your life is Jesus not number one? Let's pray and ask God to give us the clarity to see that, but also the conviction to take steps to be different, to change for God's glory so that Jesus can be number one. Let's take a moment. Let's pray. Let's sing. Let's worship. Let's respond however God calls us to.